The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, Women of Faith speaker Lisa Harper and Stumbling into Grace.
But there was this core in my heart that thought, if I don't have somebody who really loves me as their number one, somebody with skin on, I don't know if I can make it.
Stay tuned as Lisa is joined by a surprise guest.
Our God loves broken people. I think that's why we're such close friends. We know we don't have it all together.
So nice. Thank you. And you are too. We welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. My wife, Betty, and I are thrilled to have Lisa Harper back with us. Now, she's really gifted. She's a great communicator. And she is a great writer. And here, Stumbling into Grace. And by the way, the last time she was coming here, she stumbled all over herself. Yeah, she was out running and she fell and nearly lost her nose. So, I mean, she's over here laughing. But only thing funny about it. And we prayed for her and prayed with her and lifted her up. And it was not a good thing. And we are thrilled to have Lisa back. She says, by the way, she says that she always has something unusual happen when she comes here. So I'm anxious to hear about it. I do want to mention that in the bookstores right now, you can get Indivisible. And I pray you will. Because I think what we've written in Indivisible is an answer to your prayers. How can we get out of this pit? How can we get our nation out of this ditch of debt? How can we bring an out-of-control government under control? How can we get back under God and get back in the blessing? Well, this is really the way to get back into the blessing of the Lord individually, as families, and for our nation. Well, Lisa Harper's here. I'm anxious to find out about Stumbling into Grace. I got to wonder, did you write this after you stumbled and fell?
You know, I think it would be a great illustration point, but I'd already turned it in. And what I was going to tell y'all, I love coming to y'all's show. But every single time I get to come to Life Today, I gain like 10 pounds. So I found this out this past week. I tried on a skirt. I thought, well, I'll wear a skirt and look really feminine. And it cut off my circulation. I was like, good night. I'm going to see James and Betty and have to wear Spanx again. So that's the only thing I don't like about the show is it always accompanies Spanx for me.
We tell people we want to feed you. We've got feeding programs.
Well, I'm feeding the wrong thing. I'm eating the wrong stuff. I need to read your book.
If you listen better to what we say on the show, we say help us in the feeding program. We don't say increase your feeding program. You're not listening.
I think I got it confused. I'm kind of ADD, so I wasn't paying attention.
We didn't say eat more. We said feed more people.
I'll try. I was thinking you need to write one that says invisible, and then if I would read that, I might lose.
Do you know that we were on Glenn Beck? And he was one of the first ones to hold it up and say, I want everybody to get this book. It's like a must read. And so we get this text from a guy, literally, I mean, like within the next day, said, I went to online, I went to Amazon, I went to Books and Noble, I went to the bookstores, and I cannot find your book, Invisible.
That might be a prayer about politics as well.
And say it's because it's invisible, you can't find it. All right, I want you to tell us about, because I don't think Stumbling into Grace, you've already cleared the air. It wasn't written when you took
about
that fall right
stumbling.
Before you
no,
were coming
sir.
Here. And by the way, you all right? Is everything okay?
Yes, sir.
It looks good. I don't know what
artist.
All you've got done there.
She put a little prosthesis.
A little prosthesis.
No, it really was a great thing. It is okay. I almost lost my nose. And, you know, I tried not to be vain, but I realized how attached I was to my nose when I almost lost it. So I'm glad it came back. But, no, really, the premise of that book is I took journal entries with encounters Jesus had in the Gospels. Because I think all too often we don't realize that He loves us on our worst day. We think we have to put on our best performance. And when I'm in my Spanx.
Have you ever found that putting on a show doesn't impress Him?
It doesn't impress Him at all. And I don't think it impresses anybody else either.
It doesn't. And
it makes us sad. I think it breaks our heart when we aren't as honest as God gives us the ability to be. But what I was really delving into is in 1 month, my father died. I had a cancer diagnosis that actually ended up being fine, but at first it looked like it was going to be brain cancer. And then I lost a best friend. And that loss really took me to a depth with Jesus that I've never been before. Yeah, I've been a Christian since I was 5 years old. But I was always afraid of not having somebody with skin on who loved me. And I honestly think it was the hurt of that season of losing so many things and so many people who were precious to me that helped me cling to Jesus in a way I never have before. I tell people I really think I was partly an emotional agnostic. For years, I knew the verses. I went to seminary. I knew some $50 theological terms. But there was this core in my heart that thought, if I don't have somebody who really loves me as their number one, somebody with skin on, I don't know if I can make it. And when God allowed some things to happen that kind of took me to the basement, if you will, I feel like Jesus took me by the hand and took me to the basement, and there was this boogeyman of fear in the basement, and he said, we're going to sit here until fear doesn't own you anymore. And it's changed everything. I feel like I'm so much freer
to love.
What
happened down there in that basement?
He taught me that He is enough. I would quote, He's enough. I would say, God is all we need. But emotionally, I was afraid I needed more than God.
Okay, so what made that teaching process take effect?
Pain. I really think there's a sanctity in scars. I've run from pain my whole life. Now, I'll do hard. I'll work hard. I dug ditches when I was in college. So I'm not afraid of hard work, but I'm afraid of being hurt. And so to have to sit in hurt and really allow Him to heal me, I really believe now He's my healer in ways that I didn't believe before. And I'm not as afraid of laying my heart out there. I think I was in the past, there was part of me that kept a little bit of my heart back because I was afraid it'd be filleted if I really loved somebody hard or let them love me. And it's like, well, now that I've been to the basement, I'm not afraid anymore because He is enough. His love did sustain me when I didn't feel like
it's
I could put one foot in front of the other.
I know. I've dealt with fear, and it can paralyze you.
It does.
Literally.
It does.
And you can miss out on so many things that God wants to do through you.
Yeah.
And for you to be a blessing to other people
you
because
do.
That fear just grasps you. It almost takes the breath out of you.
It does. Well, you know, I used to tease. As a matter of fact, I think I told you this one time. I used to tease and say, because I'm older and single, I'd say my husband is lost and won't stop to ask for directions. but the truth of the matter is, I was drawn to abusers. And so God protected me from the abusive men I dated, but I dated some good guys, and God protected them from me because my heart was a colander. It did not hang on to good love. And so it's really just been in the last couple of years, I feel like He's plugged up the biggest holes in my heart.
I was, kind of stopped on a moment that something you said a moment ago about couldn't trust somebody with my heart. It was like they were going to give me back a broken heart.
Yes.
You know, and I couldn't trust them with my heart. They were going to hurt it.
Yeah.
And I think as I was trying to analyze what's happening, you know, I'm a curious sort of a guy, and I like to try to understand. But I like to understand because not only do I want to always find help, but I want to find ways to help people. And I was thinking about down there in that basement. Evidently, you felt like in that moment you really found someone you could totally trust with your heart, completely trust Him with your heart, and they wouldn't hand you back that filleted heart or that broken heart. And you found that in the Lord. If somebody needs that, and God wants to give that, sometimes what Lisa just expressed is not only something people want and something people need, it should be something we live to be. And that's that expression of encouragement that God would want them to have, only this encouragement coming from God is encouragement with skin on it. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
And see, and that is what we need.
Right, absolutely.
And I feel like that's what you're seeking to be.
Oh, absolutely.
Even while you long for it, you're saying, let me go encourage people that I can identify
with. Well, you know, He wired us for relationship with the garden. It says we're made in His image. He existed in perfect community, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So I was made for relationship, but I was afraid of deep relationship because I was afraid, just like my daddy, they'll leave. They'll walk away. And so I can't invest too much in my heart.
Tell me what you mean by that, just like my daddy, because some of them might not know that. A lot of people know your story.
Yeah. My parents divorced when I was little, and I loved my dad so much. And when he walked away, I think like most kids with divorced families, I thought it must be at least partly my fault. You know, if only I'd been prettier or sweeter, use my inside voice
more.
That
makes me so sad that people think that. Precious, you know, we have so much divorce. Think how many brokenhearted kids there are who really maybe nobody points them to the Jesus. Lisa found that she and all the people who work with her, women of faith and everything she does, they point them to Jesus. But think of all these brokenhearted kids.
Yeah.
And I just want to say to people who are splitting and commitment means so little, that hey, it's time to say something of value to the nation. Yeah. Commitment matters. Assuming responsibility matters.
That's right.
Critically important. By the way, there's someone who really likes your book. Now, I'm going to be honest, they're crashing your party.
They
are. We have an empty chair over here by you.
Is she Scottish and does she do hip hop?
Well, it's just, let's just let people try to figure this out. Would you welcome Sheila Walsh to come in here and say hi to Lisa?
I just can't stay away.
I think you're just looking for another television hosting job, right?
Oh, yeah. By the way, so far you've been brilliant.
I know. And brilliant. Doesn't my nose just look amazing?
I know. No one ever would know that I'd fallen off 4 weeks ago. No.
Did you ever see her while she was battered up or not?
Oh, we sat this close the whole time.
She texted me from the emergency room with the... Look what this looks like. Yes.
Oh,
and once I picked myself up off the floor, it was totally peeled back.
Oh. We're kind of proverbial sisters. I think we're split apart at birth.
This is the little sister I always wanted and never had.
And this is, I mean, we're pathologically biased.
We have limited time because this is not Oprah. Even though she's given up her time, we've not been able to afford the time because we're drilling water wells and we're feeding the hungry and all that.
I love that
so
about
we're about
you.
Out of time. But I think everybody needs to know that at this particular time when she walked in, she drove through storms, she drove through rain, she came all the way across the Metroplex. And I gotta ask you, why would you drive through all this turbulent weather to come over here to sit by the lady that can't seem to run straight?
Because I love this woman. And one of the greatest things to happen in Women of Faith recently is that Lisa has been made our, I don't know what your exact title is.
Queen of the World.
Queen of No, that's
ministry.
She's our ministry development director. She is the one that all the speakers that we can all go to, that the one that she gets on her face before God. She leads the staff in Bible studies. It's one of the most exciting things. And apart from that, I'm just crazy about her. I mean, I would give her two of my kidneys.
So you're glad about her role, and you feel like Women of Faith is going to be blessed because of this really anointing that's on her and her sincere love, not only for God, but for all the women, and the desire to see them come into the presence of the Lord, to have the very best message communicated to them, to where, and this is what I sense coming from her, and I think I see it all the time from you, you really would like every woman to hear something that comes actually from God.
Absolutely.
And they know this is from the one who is that's the lover right. of their soul. Mm-hmm. He is the one who really understands how they really feel. Because men
right.
can't. It's obvious. We're sons. We don't
I know. Bless your heart.
Bless our heart.
My response to that.
We're totally depraved when it comes to that. But here's the deal. You wrote an incredible endorsement of the book.
Oh, it's brilliant. No, not my endorsement. I mean, that was lovely, too.
Read the brilliant endorsement.
Best part of the book.
You were excited about what she's written and what she's sharing.
Well, I don't know if people know this, because Lisa's very self-deprecating, but she's a brilliant scholar.
She really studies
the Word of God, and so what she teaches our staff, what she teaches through our Bible studies, it's stuff you can build your life on.
Well, and when she writes, and let's see, you can be real smart, and you're so smart, nobody understands what you write. But she's able to reduce it down to language that just, why did the most brilliant person who ever lived, really a wiser than Solomon, Jesus made it the simplest and put profound truth in the clearest little packages that a little sheep could understand, little dumb sheep.
That's
you could talk about the birds. Learn from the birds. Solomon said you can learn from the ants. Well, Lisa takes profound truth and puts it in the simplest form. And I would say that's exactly what you're going to find here. Well, bottom line, when you're stumbling into grace, a lot of people out here need to stumble in, fall in, go down the basement of Jesus. But get into grace. When they read the book, what do you want them to walk away? Having experience on the journey through the pages.
Well, I can tell you a story that just happened recently. I work with, my favorite thing is working with women who are recovering from drug and alcohol abuse. And I work with a lot of women in a center called The Next Door in Nashville, and I get to take a lot of my girls to church with me. I was in church a couple of weeks ago with one of my girls. I'll just say her name is Lisa. And she doesn't look like a recovering meth addict until she pushes the sleeves up of her Abercrombie and Switch. What is it called? Abercrombie.
Fitch.
And then Christian had some, her son. And you see the track marks, and you realize, oh, wow, this isn't a normal college kid. Well, she's sitting next to me in church. Our pastor was talking about the unlikeliness of the disciples, how they were such a motley crew, had made so many mistakes. I notice out of the corner of my eye, she's leaning further and further forward as he preaches. Well, about 10 minutes into the sermon, she just elbows me in the ribs and says real loud in church, "Jesus had a thing for losers, didn't he?" And I thought, yes, yes, he did. That's Theology 101. Our God loves broken people. I think that's why we're such close friends. We know we don't have it all together, that Jesus is the hero of our story, and that would be the bottom line.
You know, one of the most appreciated messages I ever shared in the Citywide Crusades was titled, "Jesus and the People Nobody Loved."
Yeah.
And I pointed to all the people that were despised that he loved. I don't care whether it's Zacchaeus or the woman at the well or the thief on the cross or Nicodemus, all the different people. They felt.
And he delighted in them. He didn't just tolerate them. He delighted in them. He called them beautiful.
Well, the book is for you, and the message of grace is for you. And he really is reaching out. One of the most beautiful pictures, and I think having the background you have, and you would be able to say it in the Hebrew, but the picture of Jesus or the Father, the shepherd, on the edge of the pit, inclining his ear.
Yes.
There's really that picture of when he inclined his ear of the Lord, our shepherd, down on the edge of the pit. We perhaps dug with fists clenched in the face of God while we were digging our own depravity and our own depression. And yet he's inclining. He's just waiting for the faintest cry. God is so anxious to hear your heart cry.
Mm-hmm.
He really is. I hope you get the book. I hope you go to all the Women of Faith events and listen to these truly gifted people. Will you say thanks to Sheila for surprising us and to Lisa? Would you express that thanks? And Stumbling into Grace. It is in the bookstore. And it won't inspire you to gain 10 pounds before you watch Life Today the next time.
That's right.
It's really, really good. You know, both of you beautiful ladies know what joy we have sharing life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing to share it. It's one thing to receive a river. It's another thing to release it.
That's right.
And we together, I really believe that the beauty of life outreach is that it is the life of God reaching out all over the world. I really did see this one time. I felt like I saw the Lord. Sometimes I think I see him pretty clearly. I don't know if there were tears of joy or just, I don't know, but I just saw him. It was like, James, together, we're putting the Father's arms around the world. That's what he wants to do. And that really is what we do every time we reach out and we give just a cup of water or we give food or we rescue some, visit them in prison in their bondage. All the things we're doing together, it really is the ministry of Jesus through us for him to alleviate the suffering and to lift them up. I want you to watch closely. Listen. Listen to him. This is the last week, Mission Water for Life. This season, you're an answer to somebody's need. Watch closely.
Anakku minu ranu maluto wana ayu iranu maluto tate etiang maluto te buakang manase manase mangarah maluto mangarah maluto minu ngava wana ayu te ambana tu Si huwe manuha nga hiku mnyara kamuana ku. Fai zahurai kevo. Mantiakara nuvau rao hina na ehan. Di manza tukua tiazu, enza fangafuli tiazu, enza sakafu timbazu emar. Ti ampe fia inga.
You know, when I saw that graphic go up, no hope, and then no life, I found myself saying, hope lives here. Life lives here. The way, the truth, and the life. Don't tell me there's no hope. I listened to that mother in Madagascar off the east coast of southern Africa. All these children are sick. All they need is clean water. We're not looking for a cure for cancer or some undiagnosable disease, and we got the cure. If just a cup of water, you would give him my name. Hope said that. Life said that. Jesus said that. You won't lose your reward. You know, my mind never does race. I guess I can understand some racing to think, what might that reward? Betty, there's so much hope and life that God's put in my heart for others that it's reward enough to see that same mother see her children get clean water, to see her friends and their families come to a clean water source and no longer say no life, no hope, but have life. And we make that possible. God's love through us, through our viewers, make that possible. Betty and I give to the water well drilling program. We give to every mission outreach we're involved in. Our lives, our time, but our resources. And any time, it's amazing how we give, and it's like God blesses where we're able to have more than enough. And we keep asking God, let us give. And during this last week, Betty, I'm praying that some who've given will give again. And I already know what we've done. We just give again. And we're glad, because that's reward enough to know we're giving them life. So I'm asking, would you do this? And we need everybody all over the world. In Australia, you are so wonderful. Thank you. Sometimes I think you're helping us here in North America when we felt some of the weight you haven't felt, and yet you felt tremendous weight through the flooding and the problems you've had. God bless you. Thanks for your help. In the UK, in Canada, all over the U.S., but we need to hear from all of you. Our goal of hundreds of wells, it's one well at a time, one gift at a time. Could you give a well? I pray, Father, today several will give a well. I pray there'd be someone today who would give several wells. Say, I can do it. I've been blessed. I'll do it. Help everyone to give. Do you realize $48, 10 people water the rest of their life, 144, 30 people water the rest of their life? Would you write a check, make it to life? That's what you're giving. Use your bank card like a check and call us and say, here's my gift. Or go online, lifetoday.org. It's always wonderful to see people make gifts today. We got it. We can pass it on to the missionaries and to those that are drilling the water wells. Thank you for making that call. We have some gifts to bless you in your spiritual journey and to say thank you for your love. Please make that special gift today. If you should ever get busy, you just keep calling. Be persistent. Lives do depend on it. And during this last week, we need to hear from every one of you making the best gift you possibly can.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice: drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is that there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we will begin drilling 350 new water wells for remote villages in 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Believe This, Not That, a brand new topical Bible promise book that will encourage you in every area of life. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request our newly released Water for Life mug set, a daily reminder of the clean water you make possible to those who thirst. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the 2012 commemorative bronze sculpture, The Lamb and the Lion. This is the last week. Call, write, or make your gift online today.
Betty and I do say thank you so much on this last week. And, you know, you always reach that point. It's the last day, and it's critically important that we hear from every one of you. Father, I pray everyone who can help will help and do it gladly. Remember, if you get a busy, be persistent, be determined. Lives depend on it. And help us. I want to remind you of Lisa Harper's book, Stumbling into Grace. Be a real blessing to you. And then remember, Indivisible, you can get it, absorb it, focus on the points of prayer, and let's correct our course for the glory of God. Mm. And only changed people can help change our nation's direction. Mm. Transform people. Would you join us in thanks to Lisa? Thanks to surprise guest, Sheila Walker. Lisa Harper, thank you.
Thank you.
All of you for being such wonderful friends, for helping us share life today. Thanks for telling, literally, for helping us share life.
Faith, family, and freedom are under attack. As America faces battles within, many wonder where to turn. In their new book, James Robison and Jay Richards call us to stand together before it's too late. As one nation, truly under God. Indivisible, available now through online and retail bookstores. Next week on Life Today, best-selling author Andy Andrews and successful business executive Buddy Pilgrim reveal the missing link to prosperity. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.